Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings. So to everyone that tuned in last week, you would have heard us say there's a part two to what we were talking about. What exactly were we talking about last week,
babe? Well, we're talking about when faith gets hard. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a word from God, mm-hmm, and you've been trusting and you are seeing nothing, mm, you know, and how in that process, a lot of us give up, mm, a lot of us shrink back. Mm. You know, we put our hands to the plow, we look and we think,
I can't do this.
Maybe I was wrong. Did God really say, you know?
Yes.
Because we are humans. We are going through hardship. Mm. We are trusting God for things that we've not seen done before. Yeah. Some of us come from places of extreme poverty. And in your poverty, God is saying, look, there's wealth. Mm. Some of you come from dysfunctional families. Mm. And God is telling you, no, trust me. For a husband, a good marriage, a good functional life. You're not even asking for millions. Mm-hmm. You just want people with like the right state of mind, yeah, under your roof, and you've not seen it.
Yeah.
Some of you are watching and you're like, guys, I need to go to school. I need to do 4, 5, 6, but there's no capital. Yeah. Like there's no one I know who can help me out. Yeah. And it can look like you lying to yourself. Mm. It can look like you are even walking in deception. Mm. Or sometimes you look back at the word of God and you actually want to ask yourself, did you tell yourself that just to encourage yourself?
You know,
were things so bad that I just interpreted the word in my own way?
Mm.
You know, I remember counseling someone recently who could literally give me more than 8 times where God came and confirmed the word.
Yeah.
But the thing that was happening was so bad or so far off from what she was expecting,
yeah,
that she said, man of God, I feel like I'm lying to myself.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to say, but this person didn't even know the situation. Mm. They confirmed. I've confirmed, you know. Because it gets hard and we are human.
When you say we're human, it's so important to not ignore your humanity, but to be aware of it.
Yes.
So that you know where to place that humanity.
Yes.
We villainize it so much. You know, like, do you have enough faith? I have an unpopular belief about faith.
Mm.
I have a question, actually. Who had faith for Lazarus?
Come on.
You know, when people say, oh, you didn't have enough faith, so that thing couldn't come. How was Lazarus faithing for something?
Brother was dead.
Yeah. I think Jesus is very particular with situations.
Mm.
Every situation is not the same. The Holy Spirit will move in a specific way in a specific situation.
Mm.
And I've asked the Lord often, where was Lazarus to have faith for his own, what is it?
Resurrection,
if you will, right?
Mm.
But Jesus was strategic about who was with him in that room. Mm. Even when he raised the girl who had passed on, he said, you go stand outside.
Mm.
You guys stand here. And sometimes I feel it's because of the faith, the measure of faith the people in the room actually had, right? But that being said, and having used a biblical example, I actually want to pose the question to both you watching and my wonderful husband, Danny. Which story in scripture was easy? Or even the easiest, let's play a quiz. Which was the easiest walk in scripture? Start.
I don't see any easy.
Which of the stories in scripture would you want for yourself?
For myself.
Who would you want to be? Samson, David, character.
Well, I always wanted to be Samson till I grew up. No, I'm serious. The thought of all that power, You know, I saw this guy with six pack and nice long hair, you know, and then you grow up and you realize, wait a minute, if you're in that position, you know, and everyone knows you as that person, you know, how many people around you will actually be genuine?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he struggled to get the right woman, you know. If I was Samson up here, you know, would this woman still have loved me, you know, or come here just for the muscles, for the fact that I tore the lion apart?
That's true.
But I honestly, I think when we're children and we're looking at the different tales, oh, you would even think, I'd rather be Jesus, you know, because he was God in man. But
what was the journey like?
Oh, the death. For me, like, you want to beat me up for hours? Like, and I should just do nothing back? I'll leave that for Jesus.
I wanted to be Mary because the virtues of how Mary was spoken to, you know, you are favored among all women, and the fact that the Lord would pick her to carry, you know, him essentially in human form. But I wouldn't want that. Like, Mary's journey was not, it was anything but easy.
Try telling me you fell pregnant and the Lord's the Father.
Can you imagine telling this person that I'm pregnant and it's not us because we've not done anything, it's God? What?
I'll call my mom.
You know, everyone in scripture has their cross to bear. And, you know, when you were saying when we're children, and what I heard when you said that is a lot of us are still children.
Yes.
The way in which we interpret the text,
yes.
The way in which we see the text.
Yes.
You know, even when you're given a word, ooh, this one is so big. When someone says, oh, you're an Esther, I see an Esther anointing upon you. It doesn't mean they're lying or whatever. No, we're talking about a real, you know, person of God who has a word for you. You actually need to go and look up what Esther was called to. We get so excited about the title behind Esther. We don't focus on the journey. Mm. I actually use this a lot whenever one is envious of a profession, because there are certain professions that are uplifted above other professions. So it's normal to think, oh, I'm not doing enough because I'm not a this, right? Mm. And sometimes when someone says, oh, I wish I was a this profession, I ask them and say, would you want to study for 7 years?
Mm.
Would you want to then do practicals wherever? Would you want to work around equipment for 3 years?
Mm.
Welding, those fires. Oh, I wish I was an engineer. Would you want to be in the ground for hours and hours around the
pilot?
Clock?
Do you want to be away
from your
home?
Family?
Yes.
You know, there are some truths to the titles.
Yes.
And I'm going to call the promise the title. Because a lot of us get caught up on the promise because it comes with that elevation.
Yeah.
So if the promise is you're going to be partner at a firm, your title changes.
Mm.
And that gives you a sort of new stature, new influence, new reach. So we can focus so much on what the title will be like that we're not thinking about the journey. And I remember God speaking to me about this once because I struggled with it. I was feeling envious about something. And the Lord then began to ask me these questions. Do you want to walk this journey to be that?
Mm.
And I remember the moment I said no is when the Lord said to me, well, then fix your heart posture. Because that's just not for you. There are certain people who are equipped for certain walks.
Mm.
And I want to encourage you that you're equipped for your journey. Just because your humanity can come in the way sometimes, just because we cry sometimes, just because we feel bad sometimes, does not mean that we are not equipped for our journey. The mighty David at a point was scared of Saul.
Yes.
Like he was all depressed and hiding.
He was running from the king.
The word he would have been given would have been, you're a mighty warrior. Can you imagine being given a word that you're a mighty warrior and you are the king of a people, and then you find yourself in a cave.
Hiding.
And you're like, in that cave, you're like, they lied. They messed up.
Killing. You'd even question, if I was David, I'd wonder, like, so did I kill that bear by accident?
Yeah.
The lion? Goliath? Because you kill Goliath, who Saul was afraid of, and now you're running away from Saul.
Mm-hmm.
You get me? Things will make you question your life. And we have to be, give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. Be kind to yourself. If God is calling you to do something that is amazing, that is ground-changing, that is, you know, unseen, be kind to yourself. And know there is going to be moments where it feels like maybe I got this wrong.
There's going to be a journey.
Going to be a journey. And if you're going to go on that journey, on a journey where you are accomplishing something that only God can do, and God is doing it through you, then expect that as a human being doing something that it takes God to accomplish, there's going to be times where the calculations don't make sense,
right?
You're going to say 1 + 1 in this equation is equaling 23 million. How does 1 + 1 = 23 million? It's because God is involved. It's because God is involved. And when God is involved, the math doesn't have to make sense.
When the math isn't mathing.
Yes.
Yeah.
When the math is like, or the science isn't
sciencing.
The gravity isn't working. But God is there. And it's so amazing. I actually watched something. I was watching a video on YouTube about areas on the planet where gravity doesn't work, where instead of the car going downhill, it goes uphill, you know. And they were just saying that there are just areas where what is supposed to happen does not happen. And I'm saying in our lives, us, the people who are trusting God, there is going to be areas in your life where the maths does not match, the science does not science, and the geography
is not geography.
Is not geography.
So last week we actually read this scripture. I'm going to read it again. Psalm 77 verse 19 that says, "Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen." Ooh, because I need those footprints. I don't know about you, but I need those footprints.
You want the footprints.
When I'm walking through the sea, I want to look back and be, Jesus is right there. I'm okay. I'm good. But Jesus is a master, and a master is always silent during the test. And the faith that he is there, because he promised he would be there, because he's stretching us. So I have a word I got from the Lord years ago. It's not anything I've seen in scripture, but I know that it was him that was speaking to me. The Lord said to me that heaven is a magnet. I said, what? What do you mean? He said, heaven is a faith magnet. You need faith just to be there. It's the breath you breathe. It is the currency that's exchanged over there. And you pick up the currency here. And the magnet of faith attracts faith. As in, without faith, you can't exist in heaven.
Come on.
It's a muscle you need to enter heaven. It's like when scripture says you have a reputation in heaven. There's, what you're doing on earth gives you a reputation either side. So by the time you get to heaven, it's not, oh, you're so bad, get up. It's, do I know you or do I not know you? So you are investing where you are going. So it's almost like when the time comes, it pulls you to where you've been investing. So these trials we go through to build faith, a lot of the times, last week we spoke about God's time versus our time. We always think the faith muscle is being built for down here. We don't have an infinite understanding of why God is pushing our faith, of why he wants your borders to go a little bit bigger. It's because it has a supernatural value as well.
Yes.
It has a transcendent value. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see that with Stephen. Stephen's faith transcended this physical world. He obtained it here, but he's still going to reap it with us. It was so immense. The Lord said, He cannot reap it alone. He must reap it together with the saints. And I feel like we have this thing that because we faith it here, it must happen now, and that faith is only useful now. That's not true. The faith that the Lord is building up in you is useful in the next realm. It's useful there as well. The faith of the prisoner who was next to Jesus on the cross didn't serve him on the cross.
He wasn't saying, look,
I'm going to faith for you to get me down because I'm about to die and I want to live.
Yeah.
The faith he professed with his mouth in this physical realm had him enter heaven. Oh, my goodness. And so the understanding that you are being stretched for a time beyond here, we are actually blessed that we get to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because there are so many of his saints who did not taste and who did not see. They were in caves. They were in hiding. They were pursued. That was their journey.
What about all the believers who were killed by Paul?
That's what I'm talking
just post
about.
Getting saved. And then they were
what
killed.
What did they see? What did you know, taste?
We have to really be ready for our personal journeys. We have to be prepared to go through some things. Some of you are building for the next generation. You're building for your children.
Yeah.
Others, you are putting the foundations or you're gathering. Maybe you are a David gathering the resources so that Solomon can build the temple for the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Lord is looking at you and saying, your hands have blood on them. But I'm going to give you the resources. You are going to put together the resources. We have to be ready to believe God is doing what is best for us. That God understands being an infinite God, operating outside of time, seeing beyond the days that we have that are numbered, that he is using you to play your role, to do what you are supposed to do. Scripture says, one of us will come to plant the seed. Another will come to water the seed. Then there's someone who will come and harvest. So there are places where you were kicked out of and you're thinking, I lost the harvest. No, you were called to plant. There are places where you watered and you thought, oh man, the fruits are going to come out now and the season is there and then you were moved. Now you're looking back and you're thinking, but I wasted my time watering. No, you didn't waste your time. You were called to water. And in the same way, you are going to go and reap in places you did not sow, in places you did not water. You are going. It's a principle. We are so caught up in offense that we don't see that this is a godly principle that is working. That in certain areas, just because you labored does not mean you're going to reap from there.
But God just called you to labor there.
Yes.
Actually, you mentioned David and Solomon. When David was given the word about the temple, was Solomon in that word? No, God spoke to him. Would you be okay with your promise going to your child? Would you be okay with that? Obviously, things happened for that to even change. But the truth is, sometimes you're getting a generational word.
Yes.
Sometimes a pauper is being told they are going to be millionaires. I mean, there's a chicken outlet that's very popular. And the person only started it in their 60s. So the fullness of that chicken, because when they started, it was just in that one village or that one state or that one province, whatever it may be called, right? So that person would have seen the successes of the business maybe locally. And local success is success. Success is success. If you've got five franchises in one state, that is successful. But that person is being told that you have an unfinishing well of wealth. And in their time, being 65, when they started this thing, they're seeing five franchises and they think, wow, this is good. But all these years later, it is a global multi-billion dollar company. And sometimes you're being given a word. See, an infinite God gives an infinite word. Mm. It's just his character. Mm. And so often we want a finality to an infinity.
Mm.
And we have to link, oh, now I sound like a poet, but we have to link to his divinity, essentially, to understand the word beyond this.
Yes.
To say that, if I'm going through this, and that's why I said earlier today, what is the easiest journey in Scripture where you can say, no, I think it's Jonah because it was just the whale. We couldn't pick one because every single person had to be stretched a little bit. And the question is, why, right? So we can speculate. I gave you my experience where I felt the Lord saying you're stretching for the next realm and not necessarily here.
Yeah.
But the point is that the pattern of God is he stretches us. And if he keeps allowing it, then it has value. And we should submit to the stretching rather than...
Remember again, being a child, I thought it was so cool to be inside the mouth of a fish. You know, I thought, wow, I could just see all the space, you know. And you know, those children's books would have like Jonah sitting there and there's like a little fire inside the whale, you know. And, you know,
the science
was not sciencing.
No, no.
And I watched a documentary one of those days, I think on 60 Seconds Australia or something, or 60 Minutes, where someone was actually swallowed by a whale, you know. And the example and what he spoke about, the darkness, the, you know, just being in there.
He was squeezed. He
wasn't upright, chilling like, you know, those children's books showed it.
Campfire. Like,
and for the first time, I was like, whoa, I didn't even think of the fact that you'll probably be lying in a position, you know.
The acid as well.
Reflux.
The reflux.
Oh, man.
Ugh.
Maybe the fish that the whale just ate is there. Ugh. So don't look at situations and make your own romantic picture of it. Everyone's journey has a fight.
Mm.
Rather prepare for your fight. Rather trust God wherever you are and know that he's doing what he needs to do with you. I need you to say that. Just say, he's doing what he needs to do with me.
And remember that though his way was through the mighty waters, his footsteps were not seen. So just because you don't physically see him does not mean he is not there. And he will bring you to the perfect end of that word. You will be characterized how you were supposed to, and you will see the hand of the Lord in the land of the living.
Goodbye. Thank you for watching Surviving Life with the Vambillies.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambillies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambillies, you can just type in at the Vambillies and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambilly, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambilly. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.